Well, I like that that CD, that song, that version of the rain. Remember when it was 119 degrees outside or 115 in the summer, and finally the monsoons would come, and when that rain would come, you would just smell the difference, the freshness. Ah, and what would we say a lot of times? What a breath of fresh air, finally, right? It was just like, oh, it feels and it smells so good to have that refreshing rain. In the same way, when you agree with that, huh? Big time, right? It's like, oh, we don't even want to think about the summer coming up. But we've been talking about the law a lot, about Romans and how we all need a Savior. And we've talked about the fact that pagans are certainly not going to make it on anything they've done. And even religious people are not going to make it to heaven on anything they've done. The moralist, the humanitarian, he's not going to make it to heaven on anything he's done. And that the Bible then, after all these verses after verses and chapters, says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So we're all on level ground, all of us. No matter if we go to church or not, nobody's going to heaven by their own deeds at all. Because the Bible says, by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's no boasting in heaven, right? There's praising, there's glorying God, Jesus Christ, but no boasting in heaven. This is all by grace. All of us, right? Well, we finally get to that part here. Because hammering away at this, and even Paul talked about the good that I would do, that I don't do, the bad I do, that's what I do, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And then I had to stop with that 2 weeks ago. At the end of the sermon. Pastor Rick will tell you the good news next week. So he did, right? He said, who will deliver us from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our deliverer. Now Paul picks that up here, and he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus is a formula for Romans 6. Romans 6 basically talks about that we're all connected with Jesus Christ, right? Our old sinful nature was buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, was buried with Christ, and raised with Christ. And that somehow, when we're baptized, we are connected to Jesus' death and resurrection. And we are raised with Him, and we have His life in us. And so from then on, after that chapter, when Paul says in Christ, he means this connection, that's an abbreviation of Romans 6. So it's like, every time you say see and read in Christ, you should put in parentheses, see Romans 6. See Romans 6. See Romans 6. Because it's important. Okay? But now we're at Romans 8, which is the crescendo, the building point, I think, of the book of Romans. A lot of times we think, wait till the end, like a movie, wait till the dramatic ending. Paul can't wait to Romans 15 or 16 or whatever. He does it right here. And so he builds all this after Romans 8, and then other things he wants to talk about, right? This is a great chapter. Who am I to preach on this? These inspired, sublime, powerful, life-giving, life-changing words that are not from any man. There's no man that could write this on their own, but the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what you experienced in the conference. I wish I could have been there. But I felt something about, I knew what was going on. I knew you guys were having an awesome time. I could just sense it when I'm doing my CPR class and my CPI, learning how to do restraints and holds on kids, and oh, I hated it. It's like we had to hold each other. We had to take each other down. I hated that. Co-workers, oh, it was no fun. I'd much rather have been with you guys than what I was doing. But I knew that you're having a great time because I've been there last year. So thanks be to God that you had some refreshment from that conference. And we all need refreshment right here and now, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit. And so here we go. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The law will not save you. The thundering, pounding law that we're having in Jeremiah, week after week, chapter after chapter, is leading up to Jesus Christ in Jeremiah, who is the branch, the righteous branch, and who is the love giver in Jeremiah 31 and 33 and all that. So come, we get to it there. And Pastor Rick, whenever he would go on vacation and I'd be in charge, which is a scary thing, he'd say, give him Jesus. He'd always say that, remember, give him Jesus. Well, that's what we do. Whether it's in the text in Jeremiah or not, we do it when we have communion. We make sure that If someone comes into this church, they hear about Jesus Christ. Because He is it. He is the only one. The law will not do it. It just wakes us up that we need desperately a Savior, and we have a Savior. Thanks be to God. That's the good news, right? The good news is finally here after all these weeks, right? So, Jesus did what we couldn't do. It says, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. That's what Christmas is all about, right? God sent the best Christmas gift ever. Himself, wrapped in a baby, in flesh, but also God. How come we can't figure that out? The God-man, three in one. Jesus Christ is God and He's man. We know that, but we need to remember that and hear that. So He did what nobody could do. The law came through Moses, John says, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Anybody need grace and truth? Yes. Not just grace. Not just truth. Grace and truth together, which is hard to find at a church. Either it's pound, 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 we were talking about, Gerald, you're a sinner, all truth, no grace, or all grace, it doesn't matter, just don't forget the truth, just grace. We need both. Oh, that hurt when I pounded it. I can do that. Yes. So the law can't do it, but Jesus Christ did it, and in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, fully, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Last night, I kind of jumped around a little bit. I'm trying to be more orderly here. But I forgot this part because it's my mindset. Where is your mind? Get your mind right. One football coach used to always say, get your mind right. And he would tell the players, the Cardinal players all the time, get your mind right. What we need to say there, get your mind right. Because it's so easy to get that mind off on the wrong places, the negative, the evil, all that, all the junk of this world. So we get our minds right. Because when we get our minds right, then everything else falls in place. We teach that at Touchstone. Because as a man thinketh, so he is. They think they invented it, but they didn't. God had it in Proverbs way back when. So where's your mind? If you have your mind set on the Holy Spirit, and on Him, and on Jesus, it's a whole lot better than on self, right? And on our sinful nature. What happens if we start focusing on our sinful nature? No bueno, right? It is not very good. And we see that in sub-recovery, right? People come in, they're all excited, and they experience God's grace, and their minds are set on the Holy Spirit, and on worship, which I love. See how it starts with worship. Anointed worship, Christ-centered worship. Because that's where the healing begins, is in praising and worshiping God, right? And it sets it up for the teaching. You need the teaching, but you also need the worship and need God's presence. And it's so awesome. But then it's how sad it is, heartbreaking for you as leaders, to see people you form relationships with, and you see them grow, and then they fall back. And their minds go back. And jail, too, jail service, their minds go back. But Gerald encouraged me today. He says, yeah, but just remember this. They had an experience with the Holy Spirit they can always go back to. When they're maybe on Van Buren in the gutter, they can remember that experience they had that you gave them, Pastor Robin, or whoever else. He's the only one. Now, you don't, hold on. He doesn't have a mic, but basically he was saying in jail, for those of you in internet land, he was saying that we had preachers come to preach at him in jail, but it was how bad they were. Well, we already know that, right? You need someone to come in with the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is hope and there is deliverance. With the Spirit, yes, in them. No, we can't. No, it doesn't work. I remember professors trying to teach about the Holy Spirit. I won't go there. All right, so if we live according to nature, it's not going to be good. If we set our minds on our sinful nature, it's not going to be good. If we set our mind on the Spirit, there is life and peace, and the sinful man is hostile to God, that the mind set on the Spirit, there's life and there's peace, and those controlled by the sinful nature can't please God, but those that set their minds on the Spirit have already had the God already is well pleased in us in Jesus through Jesus Christ. He sees us, and He sees Jesus, the filter of His forgiveness. So He sees us with Jesus in us, covering you. He's got you covered of all your sins and all your failures and all of mine. We're forgiven. Amen? And that's the good news. For who? And then the message just says, with the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Jesus is like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime, a brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. So this breath of fresh air has come in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. He makes everything different. And he says in verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. With Daryl, we talked about that he abused his body because of alcohol for years and years and decades. A long time, right? So your body has paid the price for that. What's that? But your spirit, he's like a 25-year-old muscular man who's in the gym all the time because he's coming alive in Jesus Christ, and he shares that with us all the time. Only by Jesus and only the Holy Spirit. And that's the good news. And it says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. So if the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, how much power is that to raise Jesus from the dead? A lot, right? If that same power is in us, there should be some supernatural activity, there should be some supernatural power in our lives. Question, how come we don't see that more in the churches? Lack of faith, there's a power outage in the churches. We should be seeing a lot more supernatural resurrection power in the churches, and we're not seeing a whole lot in our country. Now you go to Africa, see a lot. Asia, India, amazing. And we're seeing it some here. We talk about a little bit, you know, and there's still signs of maybe some revival. We pray to God for that. But the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, I'm thinking that song Jeremy Camp, I just was listening to that, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. So let's tap into that Holy Spirit and that power of Jesus, the risen Christ. Because Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. He's inside of us. He's there. And we just have to access the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we live in the Holy Spirit, everything's different. Right? Everything's different. When you operate, I've operated in the flesh as a pastor and in the Spirit, and it's a whole lot more fun to do it in the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead, and there's this freshness, there's this energy, there's this power, there's this flow, and it's just a whole lot more fun, right? When we pray in the Holy Spirit, boom! It's just amazing. We get blessed. Amazing blessings when we're in the Holy Spirit. So are you in the Holy Spirit? Do you have Jesus Christ in you? Yes. If you believe in Jesus, He is in you. But we forget that and get our minds set on other things and other people and situations, so we want to get our minds right. Verse 12, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So, Daryl, why don't you come over here, because we want everybody to hear what you're going to say. This isn't a long sermon, okay? Just a couple of things. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Got to talk in the back there.
Okay.
So, what was the difference from before and after? Before you had the Bible, before you heard preaching, and then when it clicked that one week, how was the Holy Spirit operating in you?
Well, actually, for me, it was 29 years of trying to read the Bible with my own understanding of trying to believe in Him the way the Bible said, my way. And that's why I talk so much about the Holy Spirit today. That one Sunday night, it was, I think, 20th or 21st of 12, was a day that I sat on my bed and I said, Lord, I give up. I keep trying to do this, but I keep falling. And the last from 08 to 12 was the hardest time. The battle got worse. And I just said, I give up. I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like you want to help me. So I give up. And then it's kind of like he said, well, good. That's where I want you. Now give it to me, and I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning I got up, I knew I wasn't ever going to drink again. And I have never had an urge to drink or anything like that ever since. And the thing about the Spirit gives life to the mortal body, he did mm-hmm. give life to me because I'm alive today. Before, when I was in drinking, I was suffering, I was depressed, miserable all the time. I didn't love anybody because I didn't love myself. And it all stems from that. God had to turn me down to the point in Romans 7 where I had to say, Lord, I can't do nothing without you. And he tells you that in John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. So everything aspect of my life, I give to him, my finances, my anything like that. I wouldn't have finances if I wasn't under his care, you know. I probably wouldn't be here by now. But the jail thing is, over and over and over, went through that. 7 different states I had to recount. But the thing is that when you go to jail, you plant that Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit works through them people when they get out and makes them seek. When I got out, I went through years of trying to find a church that I could learn from. But it got me to a point where I said, well, if I'm going to learn about the Holy Spirit or Satan, which one's more powerful, I'm going to have to read it myself. They tell you in AA and all these other places, well, you do your own program. Well, I have to do my own Christianity, and that's what really worked. I had to trust in God for all the things that I mm-hmm. couldn't do without reservation. And there are times when I would say, Lord, I'm going to get drunk because you know I'm an alcoholic, so I have to get drunk. Well, he ain't going to help me during that. That's my own way. That's Romans 7. So then I come to a point, he took it away. I didn't give it to him. And Romans 8 talks about it. We won't give our sinful nature to him. He takes it, but our heart is so bad and we're so tired of it that we just want him to take it.
Amen.
And he does it. He knows that. And he works on any and everybody that wants to do it. The miracle is for all of us. It's not just for one or two people. Mm-hmm. He wants to help as many people as want it. But you got to get in the Word and read for yourself. It is your responsibility for your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And you will not regret it.
Thank you. And I hate cutting you off, brother. I hate cutting, but I got more to talk about, man. That is great. Thank you. We can go on and on, and that's all right. Verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit, those who are led by the Spirit, I just lost my place, but if I can't see it without my glasses, I can't tell what 14 is. Oh, mercy. I hate this when I get old. Oh, boy. All right. Sorry about that. Okay. Oh, no kidding. That is embarrassing. All right. So, there it is. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, or Papa, Daddy, in intimacy that we have a Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So it gets to the point where Daryl says, happens, and then he says, oh, I've got someone on my side. I've got a daddy. And so what we call, a lot of Christian counselors call an orphan spirit happens. People act like they're an orphan, but they don't have a heavenly father. And because they've been rejected or abandoned by their earthly father, they don't have a good relationship with their heavenly father, and they act as though they're an orphan, and they're trying to find love in the wrong places, trying to find a father figure in the wrong people, and it's disastrous. I see it over and over. It touched them. My goodness, it's just awful. But when you know you have a Father who's perfect in heaven, and you have a Savior that took on all your shame and all your guilt and all, everything, all this bad stuff, right? And he's living inside you, and then you have this relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then you say, you lead me. And then we're led by the Spirit, and we're the children of God. So, like Pastor used to say all the time, remember who you are and be who you are. Remember you are a child of God. You are a friend of God. And then be that. Because if we forget who we are, it's not good. But remember who you are. And there's more about that, who we are. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we were children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs. So we have an inheritance in heaven and here, even here on earth. Did you earn it, deserve it? No. It's because of your relationship with your Savior. You were adopted into the family. And Pastor Rick mentioned, look, Pastor Rick, you want to mention, what is the significance of adoption?
In the Roman culture, if someone was adopted, it was different than having a regular child. You couldn't disinherit them or disown them if a child was adopted. It was a permanent thing. Whereas with a normal son or daughter, you could disinherit them or disown them. But if you adopted a child, it was your child. There was no turning back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. There's no turning back. You are a child of God. Whether you feel it or not, act like it or not, you are. So be who you are. I'm talking to myself, to be who we are in Jesus. Now, this conference you guys went to, it sounded pretty cool. How did you experience the Holy Spirit in that conference? And Robin, I don't know if you want to use that mic, or Pastor, you got your own mic, but what happened this weekend?
The conference was Holy Spirit Leadership Weekend. So it was for pastors and people in the church. And the idea was the increase of the Holy Spirit, asking for the Holy Spirit. So we started every day with worship, obviously. And then we had some keynote speakers. We had some breakout sessions. And one of them that we went to was just how do I call on the Holy Spirit? And I think one of the key things in that is that we have to be quiet. And our life is so busy and racing around so much with work, with home, with children and grandchildren, and we race around so much. And we just focused on being quiet and hearing the calling of the Holy Spirit. It was moving. It was moving. And I think it's a missing link in our lives today, that we just don't stop enough and just be quiet and listen for the Holy Spirit. In whatever place is our special place, whether it's an armchair or the garden or the mountaintops or the valleys, it doesn't matter. Whatever that place is for you, take time to hear His voice and to ask for Him to fill you more. And it was pretty cool.
Thank you. Pastor Rick.
Yeah, for me it was, first of all, it's one of our sister churches that helps us keep our doors open here, but about four of our sanctuaries would fit into their sanctuary, all right? But the love and the hospitality of the members of the church, there was probably 50 members of the church that were serving the whole 3 days. And you could just feel the Holy Spirit there because of the church, and by that I mean the people, okay? And that's what we strive for here. And when people visit us, we want them to experience the presence of God. And I felt the presence of God all over that place. And they had people praying for all the meetings. But one of the most powerful times for Pastor Robin and I was there was only 20 pastors there. There was a total of over 150 people. But there was 20 pastors, and the first day they had us at the end of the day sit in chairs. And all the people came and laid on hands and prayed for us. And that was very powerful. And I'd encourage you to go next year. You don't have to be a pastor to go there. And especially for our snowbirds, when you come down to sunny Arizona, okay, go out to Shepherd of the Hills and Fountain Hills. Experience the Holy Spirit. Very powerful. The other thing, Pastor, with your sermon, you said miracles. They have miracles in third world countries where eyes are replaced and the dead are raised. We've had that here, okay? And I can look at each and every person here and see a miracle. Yeah. Okay. 5 years ago, we have a new Daryl. Okay. And then he went through and got a pig heart. Okay. He had open heart surgery and had a pig valve put in. Okay. And he was at peace with that. So much so that his family was amazed. Okay. Because he was already dead. All right. And alive in Christ. And the Lord has changed so many people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can look around and see, and I know your stories, and it just blows my mind. Okay. I'm looking at Robert holding his granddaughter here. Did you ever think he'd be studying to be a pastor, Robert?
No.
I didn't either. Okay. But it's a miracle. Okay. It's a miracle. He was dead, and now he's alive. All right. And I see it in all of you. I know your stories, okay? Dorothy, cancer and heart disease, and you did the stained glass windows? That's a miracle, right? Just that you're alive right now is a miracle, all right? So praise be to God, you know? Anyway, go ahead, Pastor.
Thank you. And there's somebody else I wanted to mention. God told me to say, Jennifer, the Spirit of God is in you. And it's just so amazing and inspiring what he's doing in and through you. And I wanted to make publicly say that. God said, just shout out to Jennifer. Thank you. And so many others too, you know, Joanna with Grandma there. And the love of God is so overwhelming how he brings families together and he brings the assurance that you're not alone in what you're going through, any of us. But we have a Lord and Savior, and we have the Spirit of the living God. We just sang about it. And that peace that passes all understanding guards our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus. So let's take a quiet moment and pray. And let's ask Him for more. Heavenly Father, we come, Abba Father, we come in the name of Jesus, asking for our forgiveness of our sins, our failures. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We haven't even loved ourselves that much sometimes. But we ask for your forgiveness that the blood of Jesus would cover us and cleanse us of all sins right now. That we are totally forgiven because of you, Jesus. So we ask that you would renew us and lead us, Lord. Fill us now with your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. We want to hear you. We want to experience you, Lord. Come. We set our minds on you, Lord. We want to experience more of that resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, come inside us. We surrender all to you, Lord. Lord, we've had people healed here, like Pastor Rick mentioned. We've had some people miraculously healed. We ask in the name of Jesus, Father, you would heal those that need physical healing right now, in Jesus' name. Emotional healing right now, in Jesus' name. Relational healing, marriages, in Jesus' name. Parents and children, right now, in Jesus' name. Families, our nation, Lord, ever needed healing, it's now. We pray for revival and healing right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your work, your Spirit. Don't take your Spirit from us, Lord. Forgive us for the times we set our minds on other stuff. So, thank you for Pastor Rick and Robin and the time they had the conference, and we thank you for all the sacrificial love and labor. They running around trying to get grape juice for the church service, doing this, doing that, getting this, getting that, way too much. But bless them, refresh them. Thank you for the women's ministry that Robin is doing, and we ask that you multiply the workers that can give Robin a hand. Thank you for the women that have been touched, for the lives of the women that go in there and the men. Thank you for the inmates that I work with, the male inmates. And like Daryl said, they experience the Holy Spirit and maybe they fall away, but bring them back to that, Lord. Anything else now, Lord? freely, because we're a family here, either out loud or quietly, we come before you. In your name we pray, Jesus. We glorify you. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We praise you, honor you, there's a risen Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.